Maitreya Uvacha. The sage Maitreya said, Tada. At that time, Sarvani, all Bhutani personalities, Sudva, after hearing Midutama, the best of the Benedictus, Lord Shiva, Uditam, spoken by Paritoshta, being satisfied, Atmabihi, by heart and soul, Tata, my dear Vidura, Sadhu, Sadhu, well done, well done. When we praise someone who has said something nice or has done something nice, we say sadhu, sadhu, well done, well done. Iti thus ata abruvan, as we have said, and the great sage Maitreya said, my dear Vidura, all the personalities present were very much satisfied in heart and soul upon hearing the words of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the Benedictus. In this verse, Lord Shiva is described as Midutashtama, the best of the Benedictus. He is also known as Ashutosh, which indicates that he is very quickly satisfied and very quickly angered. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that less intelligent persons go to the demigods for material benediction. In this connection, people generally go to Lord Shiva, and because he is always quickly satisfied and gives benedictions to his devotees without consideration, he is called Midushtama, or the best of the Benedictus. Materialistic persons are always anxious to get a material profit, but they are not serious about spiritual profit. Sometimes, of course, it so happens that Lord Shiva becomes the best benedictor in spiritual life. It is said that once a poor brahmana worshipped Lord Shiva for a benediction, and Lord Shiva advised the devotee to go to see Sanatan Goswami. The devotee went to Sanatan Goswami and informed him that Lord Shiva had advised him to seek out the best benediction from him, Sanatana. Sanatana had a touchstone with him, which he kept with the garbage. On the request of the poor brahmana, Sanatan Goswami gave him the touchstone, and the brahmana was very happy to have it. He now could get as much gold as he desired, simply by touching the touchstone to iron. But after he left Sanatana, he thought, if a touchstone is the best benediction, why has Sanatana Goswami kept it with the garbage? He therefore returned and asked Sanatana Goswami, sir, if this is the best benediction, why did you keep it with the garbage? Sanatana Goswami then informed him, actually, this is not the best benediction. But are you prepared to take the best benediction from me? The brahmana said, yes, sir, Lord Shiva has sent me to you for the best benediction. Then Sanatana Goswami ask him to throw the touchstone in the water nearby and then come back. Poor Brahmana did so, and then he returned. Sanatan Goswami initiated him with the Hare Krishna mantra. Thus, by the benediction of Lord Shiva, the Brahmana got the association of the best devotee of Lord Krishna and was thus initiated into the Maha Mantra. Please say it with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta, Sami Nitinamine, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Prachaline, Nivesesha Sunyavadi, Paskachare Sadarine, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhara, Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sada sarvani bhutani shrutva midushtamoditam paritoshtatma vistata sadhu sadvityata bruvan. The great sage Maitreya said, "My dear Vidura, all the personalities present were very much satisfied in heart and soul upon hearing the words of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the benedictors." This quality of Lord Shiva to give benedictions to the needy souls is a very visible in a pastime of Lord Shiva, which I want to narrate to you. I believe it was Saturday, last Saturday, where we had the sacred appearance day of Lord Advaita Acharya. Very interesting how he appeared. Once, Lord Sadashiva came to the ocean of milk, and on the shore of this ocean, he meditated. Actually, he not the ocean of milk, the Karana ocean, the ocean of all sources. And he meditated for a long time, for 700 years in his time. Sadashiva, you must know, is the original Lord Shiva, who resides outside of the material universe, in between the material and the spiritual world. He is in a very pure state of existence, totally untouched by the modes of material nature. Ich werde ganz kurz meine jüngste Zuhörerin begrüßen. Mandali, oh Mandali, Hare Krishna, herzlich willkommen. Mandali, wir halten jetzt eine Vorlesung und es wäre gut, wenn du so eine ruhige Situation einnimmst, vielleicht dich ein bisschen hinlegst, ja, recht früh oder irgendwie was Ruhiges macht. Dankeschön. du brauchst dich nicht zu verstecken. Es ist natürlich, dass man temperamentvoll ist, aber das ist okay. Aber in der Vorlesung einfach ein bisschen ruhig, mein Lieber. Super. So, Radha Shiva sat in deep meditation. And after some time, Lord Mahavishnu appeared before him. Mahavishnu said, my dear Radha Shiva, you have come in this material universe. What is your intention? Why have you come? And Radha Shiva said, I'm looking at the poor souls who are so much covered by material desires. And I want to do something to help them. But I need your support. Oh, says Mahavishnu, very nice that you have come to me with the intention to help the poor conditioned soul. And he embraced her, and both of them started to dance. And then Mahavishnu said, do you know that soon the Lord will come, Lord Krishna will come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Do you know? And you and me will be present in this incarnation and assist the Lord. We will take together one form. We will come as the best of Brahmanas, Advaita Acharya. And then they merged and became actually one form. I don't know if you are fully aware, but Advaita Acharya is a combined form of Sada Shiva in this most merciful mood and Mahavishnu. So they appeared in the womb of Labha Devi, who was married to Kuvera Pandit. Kuvera Pandit was the court Pandit of King Divya Singh Dev. And it's very interesting. When Labha Devi had this personality in her womb, under her heart, she had a very interesting vision. She saw how her baby was visited by Yamaraj, the son of the sun god and the god of death. And Yamaraj said, don't worry, he has no idea to do any harm to her later. He said, Advaita Acharya, if you appear and start to preach, then where will be my work to punish the sinner? There will be no sinner here. Please reconsider. Don't appear. Also, überleg dir das nochmal. Bitte erscheinen. Advaita Acharya, I will appear. I will appear. And I have two missions. My first mission is to spread the holy name of Krishna around and drown the world in a flood of chanting. And my second mission is even better. Actually, my second mission is my first mission. It's so good. I will sit at the bank of the Ganga and call very loud for the Lord to appear. And in this way, the Lord will come as the most merciful incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must know that Advaita Acharya can call extremely loud. You have no idea how loud he can call, because he is the origin, as Sada Shiva, of Rudra. Once, later in his past, when he was young, the prince, that means the son of the king, visited this Advaita Acharya, who was known as Kamalaksha at that time, the lotus-eyed one, the goddess of Kali in a temple. And the prince got down and paid his obeisances where Kamalaksha stood like this. And behold, beheld the beautiful form of Mother Kali. The prince got up. He said, why didn't you bow down then? Bow down Kamalaksha. Do you have something against Mother Kali? That time, Kamalaksha became furious. And remember, he is the origin of Rudra, who finishes the whole material world. And he just gave one big roar. When the prince heard this roar, he fell down dead. It was so loud. Then his father, the king, came and said, what did you do? This is not very good to kill people with shouting. And Vaisacharya said, he's not dead, he's just fainted. And he took some water and sprinkled the face of the prince. And this way, no problem. The prince came back to life. So let us go back to our discussion, the god of death, who punishes sinner, as Vaisacharya, not to appear. So he said, I will appear, and I will make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear, and I will help spread the holy name around. But you will not get out of work, don't worry. There are two people whom you can punish, those who offend the Vaishnavas, and those who are proud. Then he said, and the Mayavadis and the Charamis and the blasphemers and those who use wrong logic to establish their relative viewpoint. So this was, you will not get out of work, don't worry. So this is Lord Shiva. He is very, very merciful. He appears in this combined form as Harihara, Hari and Hara, Lord Shiva, and he actually helped spread the Yuga Dharma about. Lord Shiva is very, very interested in the elevation of the conditioned soul. I want to now make another point and move away from this point with all of you. I want to give an interesting little thought into your mind and heart, hopefully, which is meant to help us in Krishna consciousness. This morning, when Manjulali and Uloka Prabhus were taking care of our beloved deity Shishi Radha Madan Mohan, they had a very interesting lecture of Srila Prabhupada running, and I was chanting in the flower room, and somehow something in me told me, get up and listen to this lecture, it is important for you. So I got up and I heard how Srila Prabhupada was first talking about the holy name, and then he elaborated from there into a very nice point which I want to bring to your attention. Srila Prabhupada was saying that the holy name is Krishna, and not only his form but also his qualities and his leelas are there. And he was making the point that when a devotee has practiced the art of chanting, then while he is chanting, he will have a darshan of Lord Krishna and with his qualities and even his pastimes. So then Srila Prabhupada was going from there into the description of a devotee. He said, this is not to be imitated, but a devotee will see Krishna everywhere, not only in the holy name. He will go into the world, and while he is looking into the world, he will see, here is Lord Krishna's energy. And by meditating how the world is Lord Krishna's energy, he will perceive Krishna. He will not see the world in an ordinary way, but he will actually be able to perceive Krishna. Prabhupada was explaining it very beautifully, and I'm sorry, I can only summarize the point which he made. He gave several other examples how when the devotee sees something, he actually sees Krishna. And my dear devotee, this is really what we are aiming for in our Krishna conscious life. We are really aiming at the point in our life where we look into this world and into our life, and everywhere we see immediately the connection with Lord Krishna, and immediately we are extremely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. This seeing Lord Krishna everywhere is possible when you allow your consciousness to be spiritually stimulated. This is quite something interesting to understand. The consciousness works according to a very interesting but easy to understand mechanism. Some sense perception will enter into our awareness, either the eyes or the ears, and then will touch upon a certain sanskara. And when this sanskara gets touched, this is an impression, then a certain picture comes up in our mind. I just recently read a book by a devotee. I do not wish to tell his name because he will soon hear and understand why. A very nice devotee, one of my best friends really. And he was describing how as a young devotee he visited his old friend, and he heard a song by one quartet. I'm mad over you. It's a love song, which is a little sad and a little sentimental. I know I've become sentimental over you. I don't know the song. Maybe you know something. I've become sentimental over you, and so on. And he described how when he heard the first tone of this melody, he remembered how he had heard this song many times, and he did not only remember the song, but the whole environment. Maybe a party where he was with his friends, and so on and so forth. And then he thought about this very deeply, and he thought, if I'm ever going to remember Krishna, I must put in my heart deep Krishna conscious impressions, so that when I hear anything, I will remember. Just like when I heard the song, I will remember immediately Krishna. This is actually the process of Krishna consciousness, to put deep spiritual impressions in our heart. Primarily by shravana. Shravana means you hear with rapt attention, actually. When you hear with full concentration or rapt attention and allow your consciousness to receive the transcendental sound vibration, then deep impressions are created. So that when you then go into the world and see something, you will automatically remember Krishna. This is a project which I feel is something which we need to practice in our spiritual lives, to somehow put Krishna conscious impressions into our heart, so that we remember these Krishna conscious impressions in a very, very nice way. I think we must purposefully do this and purposefully work on this so that we come to this platform of Krishna remembrance. I will now read to you something from the life of one devotee. His name was Mukunda Das. Mukunda Das had a son called Raghunandan. I believe you know this son became a pujari. He was very, very devoted to the service of Gopal, and before his temple there was a beautiful kadamba tree which grew every day two flowers for his puja. Every day two flowers throughout the whole year. Raghunandan was very, very exalted, and once Lord Chaitanya asked Mukunda, please tell me who is the father. Are you the father and Raghunandan is your son, or is Raghunandan the father and you are his son? And you might laugh about this question. It's almost like asking Murali, now please tell us who is the mother. Are you the mother and Mandali is your daughter, or is Mandali your mother and you are the daughter? We would laugh about such a question because it's so obvious if you see the two, who is mother and who is daughter. It's by size you can judge it, and so on. Lord Chaitanya, he asked this for this most eminent physician, Mukunda Das. And Mukunda Das, he answered, "O Mahaprabhu, I tell you definitely," definitely means there's no doubt, "Raghunandan is my father and I am his son." Then he gave the reason. "We have all developed Krishna Bhakti because of Raghunandan. He is such a great, dear devotee of Krishna. Therefore Raghunandan is definitely my father." When Mahaprabhu heard this, he was very pleased and said, "Yes, Yanna hoite Krishna Bhakti, Sei Guru Haya. He who gives us Krishna Bhakti, he is Guru and therefore Father." Hare Krishna. So Raghunandan was very elevated in Krishna consciousness, and his father considered, "I am learning from him the art of Bhakti." Now, the reason why I'm telling you about this extraordinary family comes now. Mukunda Das is such a wonderful example of what we have discussed a little earlier, that if you have certain Krishna conscious impressions in your heart, then you will remember Krishna always and never forget him. Here he said, I'm reading now. "Once Mukunda Das was sitting on a chair before the Muslim ruler. Mukunda Das was giving some prescription for medicine. They were talking about diseases and the medical treatment for them. At that time, a servant of the Badashah, that is the Muslim ruler, came with an umbrella made of peacock feathers and held it over the head of the Muslim ruler. As soon as Mukunda Das saw the peacock feathers, he became ecstatic because the peacock feathers reminded him of Krishna. Only Krishna wears a peacock feather. No one else can put on a peacock feather. As soon as Mukunda Das saw it, he became so ecstatic that he fainted and fell from the chair onto the ground. The Badashah thought, 'What happened to this Vaidya, my physician? He might have met his death.' So the Muslim ruler got down from his seat and sprinkled water over Mukunda's face. After some time, Mukunda Das regained consciousness. And then the Badashah asked him, 'What happened to you? Why did you fall down from your seat? You might have been seriously hurt.' Mukunda said, "No, Bhadrasaha, I'm not seriously hurt." "Then why did you fall down?" "Oh my lord, I have a disease, Mridhi Vyadhi. Sometimes my head reels and I fall down." "It is nothing more than that." But that was not true. When he saw the peacock feathers, his Krishna prema, love of Krishna, swelled up. He became so ecstatic, he could not check himself. He forgot his own existence and fell unconscious in ecstasy. So, in a Krishna conscious philosophy, we understand that there are certain udipans which bring the great devotees into ecstatic, the great devotees into an ecstatic trance of Krishna consciousness. I will read to you these udipans just so that you can appreciate and hear them. I realize in my life, in my heart, there are still all these old songs in the heart. Like, for instance, I noticed in the University of Cologne, just a few days ago, we had one of the most ecstatic preaching programs in this last week. And there is a show which I show. The title of the preaching program was "There Is No Death." Maybe I should show this to the devotees. And the show is meant to help everyone, first of all, understand what death means, but then to give hope that we are living eternal. This is the slideshow. It's meant like this. So the slideshow opens with a song which I used to adore and like. "This is the end. My beautiful friend, the end. No safety, no control, the end of everything that stands, the end." And when I heard the first ding, 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 diddly, diddly, this is how it starts, maybe a little better from the musical point of view, then I remembered my child consciousness. I don't know, maybe Shishnikala from this time also. He has also put similar impressions into the child consciousness. And naturally, they stay there because we liked it so much. You cannot imagine. It was more important than chewing gum to listen to the door. It was a religious duty. And then I noticed, oh, Swami, most probably during this life, you are now almost 50 years with a sanskara, will be there. This is the end. And maybe when you die, you will hear this. Krishna. And then I thought, well, it's not so bad. I also have some other sanskaras in my heart. When I close the eyes, I sometimes see the Yamuna and other such things, and so on. But here are impressions which are very good if you want to remember Krishna, which are given in Nectar of Devotion. They're Krishna's beautiful dhoti and the beautiful scarf, Krishna's belt, and his different turbans. Today, Krishna is dressed in a beautiful turban. You can see with your own eyes how artistic his turban is today. Then sandalwood paths, which are on Krishna's cheeks and everywhere, with beautiful mandala design. Today, Madame Mohan is also decorated. His mother, Yashoda, is decorated in this design, in artistic painting. The tila, then how Krishna chews pen, and his teeth are becoming very red by the pen, and they look like pomegranate teeth. Tommy Bernays feet look wide in the middle, and around them they are little reddish. The fishnet feet look like this from chewing pen. His earrings were dangling on his ears and putting a very bright light on his cheeks. Krishna's peacock feathers and Krishna's Vajrayanti garland, which is made out of five types of forest flowers, which go down to his knees, and the bees which are around it. Krishna's anchor bells, which sound like runu runu, this is how they sound somehow. This is how Krishna Nasagavati Bhagavad Gita says. Krishna's different flutes, Krishna's footprints on the ground, Krishna's places of pastime, but also Krishna's devotees and the special days celebrating Lord Krishna. These are all udipans, let us say, which can excite your ecstatic remembrance of Lord Krishna. So it's important for a devotee to hear about these things concerning Lord Krishna, so that when he sees something in this world, he begins to remember Krishna. A devotee should strive for the day that when he looks around his, the situations of his life, he remembers blissful Lord Krishna. And by having Lord Krishna in the core of his heart, in the form of a memory, his mind will awaken to Krishna conscious life. Krishna is the life force, or let us say, Krishna remembrance is the life force of the mind of the devotee. This is very important that we think about this, because it is said, antakale chamang eva, what you think of at the time of death will determine your next destination. And it's further said by Lord Krishna that what you think of will determine your whole being, your whole state of being, which is certainly something which is internal and not dependent on external circumstances. If you want to work at your situation in life, it is important that you do the two things. Find a situation where you can peacefully prosecute your Krishna consciousness, and then also immediately start with situating yourself internally in a happy mood of Krishna Smaranam, of Krishna remembering. I'm very much reminded at this stage of our dear Srila Prabhupada, who, when he saw anything of this world, he would remember Krishna. One time he went in a car to some American city, and there was some reklama, maybe advertising, unalloyed steel. And Prabhupada said, unalloyed devotional service. Very happy. Another time, he saw painting company, you know, Bob Fabry. They had a the English that I returned to Gaura Bhavani. These are not Kindle in English. Brush. There was a brush, and from this brush, color was coming, and color was coming over the whole world. There was a world, Earth planet like this, and then the color was coming down and covering the world. And the advertisement said, "We cover the world." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, very nice. This is Lord Chaitanya's movement." He was so. Then he saw an advertisement of an insurance company. You know, there was a happy family who had a roof over the, you know, a house, and the house of the wife and the husband and the two children. Ideal American family, not too many children, not too little. And so there are two protecting hands around it. And this was the advertisement Prabhupada liked most. What it said on the advertisement was, "We ensure your happy future." Prabhupada said, "Nice, this is Krishna. He keeps that and protects that. Krishna is the main thing." And whatever Srila Prabhupada would see would serve as an, would come into his awareness, and because there is only Krishna in the mind and in the heart, there was immediately a sweet memory of Krishna turning up. This is the way to become fearless in this life. And we hear one verse from Draupadi, who, which is a beautiful verse for the dying man. Usually our own death is something which is just so frightening that our mind can't deal with it, therefore we forget it. Although it's the only thing which is safe and sure in this world, it is so frightening. And it is it's a difficult thing because, yes, we are eternal, but our body will die, and with it all our connections to this world, except those karmic reactions which we think to that. Now that for a devotee, even at the time of death, he sees Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, "Mrityu sarva harastaham," I'm the death of all beings. And the devotee, when death comes, he sees Lord Krishna coming. He prays, like the Amrita means nectar of immortality, which says the dying man, "You have now come at this moment." Like the boat which comes to save the drowning man, "You have now come at this moment." And then he ends with the prayer in a beautiful song. Draupadi says, "My Lord, you are like the rising sun, which has now come to my awareness." This is how a devotee even prays at the time of death and says, "Svagatam Krishna, Saranagatam Krishna, come my Lord, come into my life." Krishna consciousness, you can test yourself in Krishna consciousness, how much you are able to really remember Krishna, and how much things in your life which come act as an udipan, that means a stimulus to awaken your Krishna remembrance. This is some practice which is very important to be done, and very important to do. And I want to now give you, in the end of this little presentation, it's not really prepared, I'm speaking a little bit from my heart this morning. I would like to give you a few advices from our tradition, our glorious tradition, and also from the life of devotees, how to come to this state where you can remember Krishna always. Maybe the most important tip for someone who wishes to remember Krishna and come on this level is that he or she must regularly read in Shastra. See, the words of the Shastra are really the words of Lord Krishna, and they can mold our consciousness in a very nice way. But you have to go into a reading session with the Shastra where you allow yourself, where it's possible that your consciousness is molded. The best thing, a very good tip is you read on until something touches you in your reading, and then you don't go immediately further, but you remain with this which has touched you and think more deeply about it so that it enters your heart. Yesterday when I arrived here at the project, I was very exhausted from 2 weeks of intense preaching and after in India. It was not so easy physically and mentally to go into back into my service, which can be very demanding on the time and on the sleep and on everything. So I was a little bit out of power, I think, like that. Then I just prayed so much to Radha Kumbhihari. There are all these nice devotees that start coming, and they will want to talk to you, and they look for an inspiration. And now I'm looking for an inspiration. I'm very out of power. Please let me find something which totally enthuses me and put this life into my mind, that remembrance of Krishna. And then decided to read something on Advaita Acharya, because on Advaita Acharya's appearance day, I had no time really to remember him deeply, because there was so much preaching programs going on. So at that time, I just picked up a book, and immediately I applied this technique. I read until there was something which touched me. Which touched me very much was how Yamaraj came to Advaita Acharya. Said, don't fear, please. I'm very attached to my work. I'm doing it as a service to Krishna and so on. How merciful. The Lord, as He comes into our lives to have us. And I was thinking about the mercy of the Lord, mercy of Radha Shiva and Mahavishnu. It was very refreshing, actually. And the heart had become very hard due to so out of power, became soft and full of bhakti emotions and so on. So reading in the scriptures, in a way where you want to be touched by the scriptures, is always very, very good. And if you do this purposefully, then it will work. You will find something. Krishna will send something you will. Another way to get deep impressions into the heart is to have a very honest and very deep association with devotees. That is a very, very wonderful way to get impressions in the heart. And I have practiced this while I was in Mumbai. I had association with a few friends this time in India. And we really took time out. I remember with one other friend in Vrindavan. There was so little time in Vrindavan, but we would regularly disappear and go to some holy places and talk. We would just sit down. I remember we were so eager to not be disturbed. We once went to a very wonderful place of Srimati Radharani. And then there were some people, and then we hid in the bushes just to talk. And I will always remember what the devotee told me. It was a very wonderful impression in the heart. It's very important to do this. And another thing is just to create impressions. The festival days of the Lord. If you enter into a festival day, it's very important, however, that you have a mission. For instance, soon is Lord Nityananda's appearance day. It's good if before the festival comes that you make a little Einstellung in your heart. It's what you wish to have during the festival from Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, Prabhupada says, is after all Balaram, and he is the one who can connect us both with Krishna and also with Srimati Radharani. Some meditation must be there, so that during this day you will enter properly, and that you have some purpose in your mind during the festival. Then, whatever I'm really saying is, if you want an impression to happen, it is very simple. You must open your heart so that only the sense can come in. If it's closed, it will not enter. And the suggestions here are just only little suggestions how to open the heart. But there are maybe different suggestions which work better for you. The main point is to open your heart for Lord Krishna to make an impression in the heart. And then, you please can think of other things. The sacred pilgrimage is, of course, very, very important for making and getting a deep impression. Do you know why Vrindavan is so sweet? Because it is pervaded by the sweetness of Radharani. Otherwise, it couldn't be so sweet. Even in the winter, right, Vrindavan is very sweet. Because it is pervaded by our mistress, Vrindavan is allow the sweetness to touch your heart, to make a deep impression, and in this way, you can see Krishna. But it's also very, very important to see Krishna in your daily life. When you want an impression in your heart to come, don't just say, well, yes, by these activities and these activities. Your whole life should make an impression in you, in your heart. That means everything which happens should be seen as Lord Krishna's work. There's a beautiful song, Madhura Pipate Akilam Madhuram. I can't really sing it nicely. It's a song by Balabhacharya. And there is a very nice, he says, what is sweet and what what impresses him. And he says, your lips, your prasadam remnant, your devotees are sweet. And he goes through a whole list. And then it's very remarkable to see, then he says, your chastisement is sweet. When you punish me, or punish sounds so cruel, then you correct me. It is sweet. He goes through everything where he really sees Lord Krishna acting in his life. And I want to end with a little, because this is a lecture from the heart, I might as well continue in this style. We had something happening to us which ordinarily is totally terrible for a preacher. We drove to Bochum, a very nice Namahata program. We knew they were just so wonderful people. And and then our car broke down. But entirely, we drove, and then we had to get out of the bone stuff in Georgia. And we said, when the car stopped, no, this is the end, I thought. Because it was just so dramatic, the sound and everything. And we were trying to keep the car on course, on the right course, so that there was no accident. And then the sound was over, and I was so relieved. But I noticed we were getting slower. No, he said, the car doesn't function any longer. The motor doesn't. Soon we were on the Reisenstreifen, on the side of the Autobahn, and this was the end of the car. It was finished, permanently finished. It is a Motorschaden, which cannot be repaired here. And we were just trying to sell this car, and now it's totally useless, and so on. And at this moment in time, like all of you, the preaching treasury is empty. Nothing there. And I thought how my mind started to panic. Oh no, all my plans. This is the end of all my plans. And so on. And then I said, no, this is Lord Krishna trying to show you something. why don't you think what Krishna is showing to you? And I understood. This was a very clear message. Slow down, Krishna Maharaj. Because I was too fast, and I was really dead. I had so much sickness in my body because I wasn't doing my yoga exercise. Nothing at all. I just was not trying to sleep properly and so on. Slow down, Krishna Maharaj. Then I smiled. Thank you. I'm sorry that I'm so foolish that I need all this such heavy reminders. I thank you that you care for me and that you don't have to let me go in the wrong direction. You just won't allow it. And then when I accepted the lesson, everything became so favorable. ADAC, it's a German automobile club, gave us a car for free, not to keep for 1 week only, to do our preaching. They didn't give us for preaching, but they gave it to us. we could keep our appointments, even the Bochum appointment, we could somehow keep by Lord Krishna's mercy. And in this way, we were allowed to render our service to the devotees. And yes, it was very, very wonderful. And now the auto company has given a price, which is almost the price that we wanted for the car, and it was not yet broken. Krishna is just made like bang, and but if you, at the moment when Krishna makes like this, if you don't notice what's wrong, then Krishna has to start it again, or he just says, okay, you don't wish my lessons in your life, I will move out of your life and go on, do on your own. You will never move out completely out of our life, but you will not, maybe not be so active. What I want to say is to remember Krishna is not only some esoteric practice where we read Nectar of Devotion and say, all right, I will now think of the footprints of Lord Krishna, and maybe we are not in the mood to do this. It's nice if we can, in the meditation. But if we, for some reason, are not attracted or whatever, and don't feel it's our time to go into this, then at least we should see how Krishna is in our life. See, this is a movement for Krishna absorption. We should be absorbed in Krishna, whatever we do, wherever we are. And if we are not, we should train for that. We should go for this. This is the whole purpose of this whole international attempt to become Krishna conscious. That we somehow live our lives in a remembrance of Lord Krishna. By being in touch with Lord Krishna or with, and not forgetting him, the purpose of our insignificant life is performed. So I wish you all the best. I sincerely hope, because this was not a prepared lecture and I couldn't bring so many verses and convincing arguments, I hope you will accept this which comes from the heart and think about it. And do something. Please never worry when you don't remember so much Krishna. Don't become totally frustrated. No, it's high time. Something in my life needs to be done that I have at least an hour time that I can read or hear lectures or maybe meet with devotees and talk with them so that my heart becomes impressed by Krishna. Hare Krishna, what's that? My audience looks at me, I do not know if I have this guy. Do you have any questions regarding this?
Ja, it is.
Okay, I'm sorry, you have to ask. So, das ist übrigens Jairus und Jairus kennen wir alle, aber Norbert ist, hat ja wunderbaren Service im Thema Ritual getan, in diesem tollen Gorbatan-Projekt. Mhm. Eigentlich der gute Hausgeist, vielleicht verändert sich was oder nicht, das weiß ich nicht, aber unser Norbert ist da. Und er hat uns eine Teneriffa-Tour gegeben durch den Canyon, den man nicht vergessen kann. Und viele sehen. Einfach nur, dass wir nicht gleich auf die Erde wieder machen. Man kann ja nur eine Frage stellen, die ihr könntet ja einfach gar nicht berichten. Alles wissen. Na du, wie du hast doch immer was im Geiste. Ach so. Das ist im Geiste. Gut. Ja, alles. Alex, what about a situation which comes and this is very overwhelming and we react and we have a tip how to react in such a way that we don't make mistakes or get offenses and so on. There's a very simple tip which comes from the Bhagavad Gita really. Gita aufgeschlagen 5.18 oder so, oder 5.9, eines von beiden. Also weiß ich nicht, was ich wissen, also 5.9. Okay, wenn Sie keine Englische haben, 5.9. So, whenever you go through life, Alex, you should sometimes you should practice to enter the observer role, where you observe your surroundings in a dispassionate way, as in on a close to listen visor. This Lord Krishna here speaks about a person in divine consciousness. He says a person in divine consciousness knows inside of him that he really is not active. Although he's not acting. Although he sees something, he hears something, he touches, he smells, he eats, he moves about, he sleeps, and he breathes, he always knows he's not acting. Because while he talks, accepts things, opens his eyes, evacuates, he always knows that only the material senses with their objects are active, and he himself is above it. If you want to read this beautiful verse, it's 5th chapter, 6, 8, 9. And this, of course, Krishna is not talking so much about bhakti, but bhakti means something more. In analytical knowledge, you begin to understand while you do things, it's really the material energy which moves, and you are part of it, you move with it. But when you are in bhakti, you understand Krishna moves the material energy, and with it, you. So it's not that you are the handler, the actor, but Krishna acts through the material energy of you. This is easy. Sometimes when you walk and you have time to think, you can think about the movement and the nature as you're going through the nature, and you understand you're moving with the material energy. The trees are moving, the wind is moving, the rivers are moving. You are also moving along, and the material elements are moving along. And certainly you have desire to walk here, but the river has maybe not desire to flow in this direction. But still, it's the material energy that moves, and Krishna moves the material energy. I will never forget that very old Swami, I mean, Mahavishnu Maharaj. There are two Mahavishnu Maharajas. One is the beautiful musician Maharaj, and the other is an elderly gentleman. And he sat down in London. He gave a lecture in London. Coming to the lecture, I was a little late. I was reached somewhere, and I was sitting there. And then he said, "You have just arrived from Los Angeles. If I say I have traveled here, it's wrong. I haven't traveled. Krishna allowed me to come here. He made the airplane, he gave me a ticket, and he brought me here." And when I looked at him, I understood it was so real for him, this realization. It was not that he was trying to speak very Krishna conscious and he had not realized. No, he said, "Krishna has brought me to London." This Krishna has brought me here and I have not gone. It becomes especially realized by every one of us when you go to Vrindavan. You notice, how can I go to Vrindavan? Isn't it the money sometimes visiting holy places in Vrindavan? And then you sit at the holy place and you think, "Pure mercy that I'm here. How can anyone..." So at that time it's very easy for everyone to see if you're in Vrindavan, because Krishna has somehow brought me here. So this is how you can think about everything in your life. And it happens really, you can come to think about this when you become the observer. Watch your life. Then you're getting angry, like you're a young bhakta and you're about a passionate there very much. I don't know. Maybe it is there very much. Maybe you are also the most perfect brahmana we've ever met. But let us assume you are at the mode of passionate. It stirs you up and you become very... At the moment where you feel it's starting, just go poof. And you look up and say, "Oh, Bhagavad Alex, Haribo." This is the best way also for character improvement. If you do always the same mistake like I do, it helps very much to go on the side and doing this, looking out at the Namaskarya after all these years, still the same mistake. Please, do it properly. You have learned how to do it. Well, by the way, all the spiritual masters inside, do it like this, and then I'm just here. Good. It's now 9:20. I think we must end today the lecture, because there are many things which are still to be done. I'm sorry. You have a question, please keep it in your mind for the next lecture. I'll write it on a piece of paper. Lapavu Paraki Jai, Sisi Goni Tari Ki Jai, Go Premanandi Hari Albo.